told me the Lord Protector had said I was at liberty and might go whither I would. Then I was brought into a great hall where the Protector's gentlemen were to dine. I asked them what they brought me thither for. They said it was by the Protector's order that I might dine with them. I bid them let the Protector know that I would not eat of his bread nor drink of his drink. When he heard this, he said, "Now I see there is a people risen that I cannot win with gifts or honors, offices or places, but all other sects and people I can." And it was told him again that we had forsaken our own possessions and were not like to look for such things from him. Being set at liberty, I went to the inn where Captain Drury at first lodged me. This captain, though he sometimes carried it fairly, was an enemy to me and to truth, and opposed it. When professors came to me while I was under his custody, and he was by, he would scoff at Trembling and call us Quakers, as the Independents and Presbyterians had nicknamed us before. Footnote 105. This implies that the nickname was given because the friends trembled when they spoke. But afterwards he came and told me that, as he was lying on his bed to rest himself in the daytime, a sudden trembling seized on him, that his joints knocked together and his body shook so that he could not rise from his bed. He was so shaken that he had not strength enough left to rise. But he felt the power of the Lord was upon him, and he tumbled off his bed and cried to the Lord, and said he would never speak more against the Quakers, such as trembled at the word of God. During the time I was prisoner at Charing Cross, there came abundance to see me, almost of all sorts, priests, professors, officers of the army, etc. Once a company of officers, being with me, desired me to pray with them. I sat still, with my mind retired to the Lord. At last I felt the power and Spirit of God move in me, and the Lord's power did so shake and shatter them that they wondered, though they did not live in it. Among those that came was Colonel Packer, with several of his officers. While they were with me, there came in one Cobb, and a great company of ranchers with him. The ranchers began to call for drink and tobacco, but I desired them to forbear it in my room, telling them if they had such a mind to it, they might go into another room. One of them cried, "All is ours," and another of them said, "All is well." I replied, "How is all well, while thou art so peevish, envious, and crabbed?" For I saw he was of a peevish nature. I spoke to their conditions, and they were sensible of it, and looked one upon another, wondering. Then Colonel Packer began to talk with a light, chafy mind concerning God and Christ and the Scriptures. It was a great grief to my soul and spirit when I heard him talk so lightly, so that I told him he was too light to talk of the things of God, for he did not know the solidity of a man. Thereupon the officers raged and were worth that I should speak so of their colonel. This Packer was a Baptist, and he and the ranchers bowed and scraped to one another very much, for it was the manner of the ranchers to be exceedingly complimentary, as they call it, so that Packer bade them give over their compliments. But I told them they were fit to go together, for they were both of one spirit. This Colonel Packer lived at Theobald's, near Waltham, and was made a justice of the peace. He set up a great meeting of the Baptists at Theobald's Park, for he and some other officers had purchased it. They were exceedingly high and railed against friends and truth, and threatened to apprehend me with their warrants if ever I came there. Yet after I was set at liberty, I was moved of the Lord God to go down to Theobald's and appoint a meeting hard by them, to which many of his people came, and divers of his hearers were convinced of the way of truth, and received Christ, the free teacher, and came off from the Baptist, and that made him rage the more. But the Lord's power came over him, so that he had not power to meddle with me. Then I went to Waltham, close by him, and had a meeting there, but the people were very rude, and gathered about the house and broke the windows. Thereupon I went out to them with the Bible in my hand and desired them to come in, and told them that I would show them Scripture, both for our principles and practices. When I had done so, I showed them also that their teachers were in the steps of such as the prophets, and Christ and the apostles testified against. Then I directed them to the light of Christ and the Spirit of God in their own hearts, that by it they might come to know their free teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. The meeting being ended, they went away quieted and satisfied, and a meeting has since been settled in that town. But this was some time after I was set at liberty by Oliver Cromwell. When I came from Whitehall to the Mermaid at Charing Cross, I stayed not long there, but went into the city of London, where we had great and powerful meetings. So great were the throngs of people that I could hardly get to and from the meetings for the crowds, and the truth spread exceedingly. Thomas Aldham and Robert Craven, who had been sheriff of London, and many friends came up to London after me, but Alexander Parker abode with me. Footnote 106. During this same year, 1654, a remarkable work was done in London by Edward Burrow and Francis Haugill. It is estimated that not less than 10,000 adherents were gathered in the city during these early years of Friends' ministry. After a while, I went to Whitehall again and was moved to declare the day of the Lord amongst them, and that the Lord was come to teach his people himself. So I preached truth, both to the officers and to them that were called Oliver's gentlemen, who were of his guard. But a priest opposed while I was declaring the word of the Lord amongst them. For Oliver had several priests about him, of which this was his newsmonger, an envious priest and a light, scornful, chafing man. I bade him repent, and he put it in his newspaper the next week that I had been at Whitehall and had bidden a godly minister there to repent. When I went thither again, I met with him, and abundance of people gathered about me. I manifested the priest to be a liar in several things that he had affirmed, and he was put to silence. He put in the news that I wore silver buttons, which was false, for they were but alchemy. Footnote 107. Alchemy, a cheap metal made to imitate gold. Afterwards, he put in the news that I hung ribbons on people's arms, which made them follow me. This was another of his lies, for I never used nor wore ribbons in my life. Three friends went to examine this priest that gave forth this false intelligence, and to know of him where he had had that information. He said it was a woman that told him so, and if they would come again, he would tell them the woman's name. When they came again, he said it was a man, but would not tell them his name then, but said that if they would come again, he would tell them his name and where he lived. They went the third time, and then he would not say who told him, but offered if I would give it under my hand that there was no such thing, he would put that into the news. Thereupon the friends carried it to him under my hand, but when they came, he broke his promise, and would not put it in, but was in a rage and threatened them with the constable. This was the deceitful doing of this forger of lies, and these lies he spread over the nation in the news, to render truth odious and to put evil into people's minds against friends and truth, of which a more large account may be seen in a book printed soon after this time, for the clearing of friends and truth from the slanders and false reports raised and cast upon them. These priests and newsmongers were of the independent sect, like them and Leicester, but the Lord's power came over all their lies and swept them away. And many came to see the naughtiness of these priests. The God of heaven carried me over all in his power, and his blessed power went over the nation, insomuch that many friends about this time were moved to go up and down to sound forth the everlasting gospel in most parts of this nation, and also in Scotland, and the glory of the Lord was felt over all, to his everlasting praise. A great convincement there was in London, some in the Protector's house and family. I went to see him again, but could not get to him. The officers were grown so rude. Chapter 9. A Visit to the Southern Counties, which ends in Launceston Jail. 1655-1656. It came upon me about this time from the Lord to write a short paper and send it forth as an exhortation and warning to the Pope and to all kings and rulers in Europe. Besides this, I was moved to write a letter to the Protector, so called, to warn him of the mighty work the Lord hath to do in the nations, and the shaking of them, and to beware of his own wit, craft, subtlety, and policy, and of seeking any by-ends to himself. Footnote 108. This paper to the Protector was published in 1656. The paper mentioned just before was a warning from the Lord to the Pope and to all his train of idolatries, published at the Black Spread Eagle in 1656. He wrote many more letters at this period. Among them was a long letter to all professors of Christianity. Here is a characteristic passage from it. Let us be glad and rejoice forever. Singleness of heart is come. Pureness of heart is come. Joy and gladness is come. The glorious God is exalting himself. Truth hath been talked of, but now it is possessed. Christ hath been talked of, but now he is come and possessed. The glory hath been talked of, but now it is possessed, and the glory of man is defacing. The Son of God hath been talked of, but now he is come, and hath given us an understanding. Unity hath been talked of, but now it is come. Virgins have been talked of, but now they are come with oil in their lamps. I traveled till I came to Reading, where I found a few that were convinced of the way of the Lord. I stayed till the first day and had a meeting in George Lamble's orchard, and a great part of the town came to it. A glorious meeting it proved, great convincement there was, and the people were mightily satisfied. Thither came two of Judge Fell's daughters to me, and George Bishop of Bristol, with his sword by his side, for he was a captain. After the meeting many Baptists and ranters came privately, reasoning and discoursing, but the Lord's power came over them. The ranters pleaded that God made the devil. I denied it, and told them I was come into the power of God, the seed Christ, which was before the devil was, and bruised his head. And he became a devil by going out of truth, and so became a murderer and a destroyer. I showed them that God did not make him a devil, for God is a God of truth, and made all things good and blessed them. But God did not bless the devil. And the devil is bad, and was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and spoke of himself and not from God. So the truth stopped and bound them, and came over all the highest notions in the nation, and confounded them. For by the power of the Lord I was manifest, and sought to be made manifest to the Spirit of God in all, that by it they might be turned to God, as many were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, and were come to sit under his teaching. After this I passed to London, where I stayed a while and had large meetings, then went into Essex and came to Coggeshall, where there was a meeting of about 2,000 people, as it was judged, which lasted several hours, and a glorious meeting it was. The word of life was freely declared, and people were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, their teacher and Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. On the sixth day I had a large meeting near Colchester, to which many professors and the independent teachers came. After I had done speaking and was stepped down from the place on which I stood, one of the independent teachers began to make a jangling, which a more Stoddard perceiving said, "Stand up again, George," for I was going away and did not at first hear them. But when I heard the independent, I stood up again, and after a while the Lord's power came over him and his company. They were confounded, and the Lord's truth went over all. A great flock of sheep hath the Lord in that country, that feed in his pastures of life. On the first day following, we had a very large meeting not far from Colchester, wherein the Lord's power was eminently manifested, and the people were very well satisfied. For being turned to the Lord Jesus Christ's free teaching, they received it gladly. Many of these people were of the stock of the martyrs. As I passed through Colchester, I went to visit James Parnell in prison, but the jailer would hardly let me come in or stay with him. Very cruel they were to him. The jailer's wife threatened to have his blood, and in that jail they did destroy him, as the reader may see in a book printed soon after his death, giving an account of his life and death, and also in an epistle printed with his collected books and writings. We came to Yarmouth, where there was a friend, Thomas Bond, in prison for the truth of Christ, and there stayed a while. There we had some service, and some were turned to the Lord in that town. Thence we rode to another town, about 20 miles off, where were many tender people, and I was moved of the Lord to speak to them, as I sat on my horse in several places as I passed along. We went to another town about 5 miles beyond and put up our horses at an inn. Richard Hubbardthorne and I having traveled 45 miles that day. There were some friendly people in the town, and we had a tender, broken meeting amongst them in the Lord's power. We bade the hostler have our horses ready by 3 a.m, for we intended to ride to Lynn about 30 miles next morning. But when we were in bed at our inn about 11 p.m, the constable and officers came with a great rabble of people into the inn. They said they were come with a hue and cry from a justice of the peace that lived near the town, about 5 miles off, where I had spoken to the people in the streets as I rode along. They had been told to search for 2 horsemen that rode upon gray horses and in gray clothes, a house having been broken into the 7th day before at night. We told them we were honest, innocent men and abhorred such things, yet they apprehended us and set a guard with halberds and pikes upon us that night, calling upon some of those friendly people with others to watch us. Next morning we were up betimes, and the constable with his guard carried us before a justice of the peace about 5 miles off. We took with us 2 or 3 of the sufficient men of the town who had been with us at the great meeting at Captain Lawrence's, and could testify that we lay both the 7th day night and the 1st day night at Captain Lawrence's, and it was on the 7th day night that they said the house was broken into. During the time that I was a prisoner at the Mermaid at Charing Cross, this Captain Lawrence brought several independent justices to see me there, with whom I had much discourse, at which they took offense. For they pleaded for imperfection, and to sin as long as they lived, but did not like to hear of Christ teaching his people himself, and making people as clear, whilst here upon the earth, as Adam and Eve were before they fell. These justices had plotted together this mischief against me in the country, pretending that a house was broken into, that they might send their hue and cry after me. They were vexed also and troubled to hear of the great meeting at John Lawrence's aforesaid, for a colonel was there convinced that day who lived and died in the truth. But Providence so ordered that the constable carried us to a justice about 5 miles onward in our way towards Lynn, who was not an independent as the rest were. When we were brought before him, he began to be angry because we did not put off our hats to him. I told him I had been before the protector, and he was not offended at my hat, and why should he be offended at it? Who was but one of his servants? Then he read the hue and cry, and I told him that that night wherein the house was said to have been broken into, we were at Captain Lawrence's house, and that we had several men present who could testify the truth thereof. Thereupon the justice, having examined us and them, said he believed we were not the men that had broken into the house. But he was sorry, he said, that he had no more against us. We told him he ought not to be sorry for not having evil against us, but ought rather to be glad. For to rejoice when he got evil against people, as for housebreaking or the like, was not a good mind in him.